Now it is time for the Positive Chats podcast. Today, our guest, would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, I'm Tim Mahoney from Thinking Man Films, and I produced a series of films called Patterns of Evidence.
And that is right. Filmmaker here with us, sort of in the studio, joining us from Minneapolis, Minnesota this morning. How's the weather in Minneapolis right now?
It's actually a beautiful day, a little overcast, but it's going to be a great day.
Well, it's so wonderful to have you here with us. The weather here in Toledo is also pretty nice. It's been slowly transitioning into fall, so like it's cool at night, but still warm during the day. It's kind of that ideal time of the year. Or as William Shatner once joked, what would be your ideal date? And he picked like April something instead of like he was supposed to say a person, and then he just went, I'd say April 23rd. I think September, you know, September 16th is a pretty good day so far.
Yeah, I'm an October person. I love the turning of the leaves and the, you know, kind of a brisk feel in the air.
Oh, sure. Is there a lot of good leaf foliage up there in Minnesota?
Oh, yeah. We actually have like, advisories where to follow the turning of the leaves, you know, for if you want to go out on a drive.
That is very useful. I'd need to know how to get access to those advisories. My wife and I would love to drive up through Michigan or Minnesota in the this time of year. Well, so you are a filmmaker and have done a series of films called Patterns of Evidence. And before we get into that, though, I always like to ask people kind of a fun question. We had an author here on Wednesday. We asked his favorite work of fiction in the form of a book. What would be, do you have a favorite film series or movie that's like your go-to?
You know, I like The Lord of the Rings. I think just because it was so well done and it was such a, I think so well casted, and I've just enjoyed that adventure. So I probably, if I was just to pull something off, I love history and ancient history, and I've been to Oxford. I actually went to C.S. Lewis's home, where he and J.R. Tolkien, sat and talked, out at this pond. And so I guess that would be my choice, Lord of the Rings.
Are you familiar with Dr. Bruce Becker? Have you ever heard that name before?
No, I haven't.
He was our interview from a Wednesday. He's the author who also is a bit of a historian, and he does a True Crimes of the Bible podcast.
Oh, wow.
And so loves history. I asked him what his favorite book was. He said Lord of the Rings. So we are two for two. And I'm inclined to agree with you. Lord of the Rings is definitely my go-to as well for film series. Well, I do like Batman, but Lord of the Rings was just so well made, it's hard not to love it, especially if you like history.
If you love history, you need to go to Egypt and to Israel. And I actually was in high school, when I was in high school, I caught myself like reading ahead in the history book, and I go, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to be doing this. Why am I so interested in it? And that's when I started to realize that I wanted to know what had happened. I think it's this thirst to know, well, where do we come from and how do we get here, you know? And once you start digging into that, it's just incredibly satisfying, and the discovery of where we've been and how things happen is amazing.
So that's a little bit of a hint then at where I'm going to go with our next question. You wanted to go into radio, but somewhere that shifted. Clearly, there's an interest for you already. You've mentioned earlier in your life for history and knowing how things happened. What took you from maybe a path on radio into filmmaking?
I went to my first movie, and it sounds funny to me. I went to a movie when I was 18, or I was like 17 or 18, and it was a movie called The Hiding Place. Now, Billy Graham Association, if people remember Billy Graham, was headquartered right here in Minneapolis, and they had a movie production group called Worldwide Pictures. And so when movies would come out in the Twin Cities area here, a lot of people knew about it, and I was raised in a conservative home. So I listened to a lot of radio, and I actually hung out at a local radio station, and I thought, I'm going to go into radio. And then I saw this movie, and for my first time, and I saw it three times in 1 week. It so impacted me. And then as I was going to college, you know, I went to college, and then as I was trying to figure out my next step in the radio, I heard about a film school. And it was that kind of combination between the movie and the film school idea that this thought came to my mind. Well, what if I could make movies? And I thought, that's a crazy idea. And so I went to 2 years of, took a 2-year degree. And then from there, I went to this film school, and that was sort of the beginning. And once I got into film school and hung out with other people who want to make films and touch the equipment and tried to make a film and all that, I was just sucked in.
I'm a digital art major myself, so I've had some time around the camera, around the studio and all that. And it's really cool. A lot of things you can do with the medium. So may I ask real quick, what was the movie that you saw 3 times in a week?
Oh, it was called The Hiding Place. The Hiding Place is a true story about a family, and it's focused on the life of Corrie Ten Boom. And her family, she was never married, she and her sister. They lived with their father, who was a clock watch specialist. And they had a little shop in Holland. And they were asked if they would help hide and kind of work as a transfer place for Jewish people that were trying to escape the Nazis. And I'm not sure how many people, but I think it was over 100 and some people hid in their home. They made a hiding place behind one of the walls, and they would have Jewish people come and their families come in the store. Eventually they would just sort of whisk them into a back room and up the stairs, and they would live there. And for a long time they were trying to do this until they were exposed, and then they were all taken to a concentration camp.
I'm familiar with the name Corrie Ten Boom. Wow, that is quite that would be very impactful. So maybe a bit more so than Star Wars, perhaps.
It's definitely, cinema is so powerful. And if you can figure out how to do it right, it's a real gift if you have the right kinds of stories to tell. So
did you come out of film school then knowing you wanted to do biblical films or films on biblical archaeology? What was kind of what were your first steps coming out of film school, and then what led you to where you are now?
Well, I just made a movie actually telling this story called The Journey Home, and we released it, internationally online. My first steps out of film school was I got married. And I mean, I got married kind of in the middle of it, and I never finished film school. I had 1 year, and then I met my wife, and I really felt that she was the person for me, and she has been, and we've married for 44 years. So she was with me. My first date was to a film lab, by the way. I said, hey, would you run some errands? And I had shot a film for a college, a little film, and I was just trying to pursue this career. And so she went with me to the film lab, and I told her, hey, I really believe I'm going to be a filmmaker. But it took me a long time. I ended up... my uncle wanted me to learn a trade. So while I was in college, he taught me how to paint cars. And so out of films, out of that college experience, I went into painting cars, feeling like, how am I going to get to be a filmmaker? But I did pretty well painting cars, and we bought a house, and I built a studio, a recording studio in our basement. And then I started to make slideshows. Back in the day, they were really popular, and I was trying to make commercials. I was trying to find a way to get into the industry. So a lot of what I did was read books, and I was self-taught in the very beginning to become, eventually I was able I made a documentary it was actually one of my relatives. And in my story, my cousins are very involved in my life. I've done business with them, and they've had companies that I've made films for. And one of them had an archery company, and we ended up making a bear hunting video. And that got me noticed at an ad agency. And I became the agency producer and ended up making, TV commercials, and eventually left that company and started my own production company. I've had a production company for it's like 33 years now.
So it is a bit of a climb, right? You didn't just come right out of college going into it. A lot of self-taught, working your way through it, and a lot of industrious mindset that it takes to do that, yeah?
Yeah, that's true, yeah. You have to really... There's lots of reasons to quit. I mean, for anybody who's an artist or out there, this is a long marathon, for at least it was for me and a number of people. And you have to keep your eyes on the goal. For me, I didn't know. So you asked the question, you know, do you think you're going to be, we're going to make films about the Bible? What I did know is I was interested in the Bible. I believed in the Bible. And I had a sense of there's something important that I needed to do, and I needed to pay attention. And I think for anybody who wants to move in their career from, you know, where they are today to aspiring to be an author or a filmmaker or a singing, you know, artist or whatever, I think you just have to continue to, you know, I've heard the thing, you write down your goals. And I had a goal to have a TV special, national TV special. A friend of mine, you know, told me you should write them all down, you should revisit them. And you know what? Believe it or not, I actually had a national TV special that I helped co-produce called The Bible Code, and it was on NBC. And this is like, you know, 20 years ago. But it was just a process of saying, I'm going to make this a goal. And then you just have to be like a dog on a bone and not let go of it.
I'm actually writing down some goals here right now, just thinking about what you're saying. So, but along the lines of the biblical archaeology thing, because that's what you have an upcoming project coming out. It's about Exodus. It's about Mount Sinai. Could you tell us a little bit about that and maybe what led you to it?
And anyone who's listening, patternsofevidence.com is a place where you can follow along as I'm talking here. But patternsofevidence.com is the name of the site. What happened was that I heard that there were people searching for evidence of the Exodus. One thing I heard was that people were searching for chariots on the bottom of the Red Sea. And I said, what? What is that about? And then they said, and people were searching for the location of Mount Sinai. And they think they found evidence of it. And I was just really interested in anything like that. And I thought, well, maybe I could get involved with this. And someone was making a film about it, and I ended up trying to help them. And then eventually I ended up moving into starting all over. And 2002, I met this scientist from Sweden, Dr. Lennart Möller, and he had written a book about it. It was called The Exodus Case. And he had done all that he took a scientific approach. He was a DNA scientist, and he took, like, if you're looking for something as a scientist, you need to have a hypothesis, and you needed to have a look for a pattern. And that's how the name Patterns of Evidence came about. So we've taken the scientific approach to look for evidence of the Bible. And the Bible says, well, the Israelites entered into Egypt as a small group of people. They grew into a larger group of people. They became slaves. They were there was a punishment of Egypt, and then they exited and went to the Promised Land. Can we find a pattern of evidence for that? And that first film is called Patterns of Evidence, The Exodus, and that took 12 years for me to make.
12 years, that is quite a journey.
Yeah, it was. I didn't think other times, you know, Vinny, I thought, you know, I don't know, is this ever going to get done, you know? And I felt that what God was saying to me was, in fact, one time I sat in church and I said, I'm a liar, you know? I said I was going to be done with this film, and like, I thought it'd be like a year, you know? But I didn't know how to make a film, and I didn't know how to make a film like this. And it was like I was rowing a boat and I hit this great big chunk of ice, and I didn't realize that the ice was not an ice, it was an iceberg. And it was enormous. And once we started getting into it, it got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And so eventually I made different versions of this film, trying to hack my way through it. And I said, I think there's more than one movie here, you know? And I ended up taking the first 3 minutes of the film that I thought I had, that was done, and that became a 2-hour feature.
Oh my gosh.
That's how much there was. So there is a huge investigation going on. And let me just share with your listeners, there's enormous patterns of evidence that God has acted in history. And our films show that. If you go to patternsofevidence.com, you can see it. And what's going on now is the movie that I thought I was making 20 years ago, I'm just releasing in the theaters right now. It's going to be on October 17th and 18th. It's going to be in 720 50 theaters plus or so. And you can get tickets if you go to Patterns of Evidence. You can, but what's interesting about this film is I've added something to it, a twist that we've never had before, and I've created a scorecard. We're going to go look at, this is a two-film investigation. The first investigation starts in October, and I've got a scorecard so that you can actually go to our website, download the scorecard. It's going to give you detailed information that you can read for yourself what it says. About the mountain that we're going to go look for. You can read about the route. You can read about where Moses went and fled when he was hiding and lived in Midian. You're going to learn about all that. And then I've given you like a, it's like a bowling scorecard, you know? I got six mountains that we're investigating. And as you watch the movie, you can check off, you know, is this real evidence that you think is convincing? Is it a maybe or is it no? I'm not convinced. And we're going to rank six different mountains to find the, to see if we have a compelling evidence for where the real location of Mount Sinai is. And that's the big fun interactive twist in this film.
That does sound like a lot of fun. Get the viewers in on it, help us maybe, which is always important when it comes to giving this type of information, is really to encourage people to think for themselves, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the reason why we call it Thinking Man Films, right?
So what, in the process of making this movie, what was one of the most surprising things that you learned, either about the process of making the movie itself or just the archaeological things that you were going into?
I've made five films now, and each one of them I have surprises in. But on this particular film here is... It might not be what you think it is, but it's the fact that I've been in the, I don't know if you've ever been out into a desert or, you know, walked out somewhere, but you know, when you walk somewhere, you got to walk back, you know, like, so if you walk into a wilderness and there's no water, what are you going to do? I mean, you know, then you've got to walk back to find water. So I think the thing that's profoundly, I've seen here is that when God called the Israelites out of Egypt from slavery, and they saw all these miracles, they had to walk with their families, their children, and they go into the wilderness to meet God. And they're like, well, where are we going to get our food? What are we going to drink? I mean, you know, this wilderness is where people go to die, you know, not to live. There's reasons why they call it the wilderness is because no one lives there, because there's nothing to eat or drink, you know. If there was, people would be living there. And I think for me, making this film and understanding that there are times when God calls us to follow him out into a wilderness, and he says, I'm going to provide for you. And I think that to me, just at this place that I'm at, you know, making these films, feeling a sense of I'm trying to understand what's going on if I was in this story myself. That's what I think came away from me, is that God says, I'm going to give you food from heaven, but I'm only giving it to you once a day. You know, you're not going to be able to like pack it up and put it in a trailer and say, hey, we got enough food for 3 months. You know, a lot of people are wanting to have food stored up. Well, the Israelites didn't get that. They had to trust God every day. For me at the moment, I mean, I could tell you all about all sorts of interesting evidences and that we can talk about that next. But for me, that is the thing that I'm starting to understand is in my own personal life right now, is that God doesn't necessarily give us everything we need to sustain us for a long time. He just says, trust me for today. That's the unique thing I'm learning.
Amen. Amen. And I think that's something, probably not as a dramatic example as what the Israelites went through, but that's something we all have to learn at some point, is do we trust God one day at a time to give us what we need, even when the future looks like just a big question mark?
Yeah. Yeah, right. You know, like during COVID, you know, a lot of people were like in turmoil. You know, what, you know, how's this going to go? Am I going to have a job? And am I going to have a business? You know, all that. We're happily, hopefully behind all that. That's behind us now. But so there are, now in this next film, there are people that are finding inscriptions. And one of the things, I don't know if you know, Vinny, but the second film that I made called The Moses Controversy, is about inscriptions, and it's about these unusual inscriptions that were found in the Sinai Peninsula at a place called Sirabit al-Qadim. And these inscriptions were somebody took hieroglyphs and they modified them. And they modified them into what became. So if I showed you this, this is like a bull's horn, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And eventually it becomes the word, an aleph, and eventually it becomes the letter A. So somebody took and made phonetic connections to images, and that became a phonetic alphabet. In the beginning, it didn't have any vowels, and it didn't have any spaces in it. But then the basis of all alphabets in the world came out of that early desert, you know, drawings. I mean, that's where they were born. And so what we're going to do in this film is we're going to be visiting those inscriptions, because what people are saying is that they can read them now, and they believe that they're talking about manna. They're talking about Moses. They're talking about different things. And so it's a question about, well, are these being read accurately? But they're saying that this is a clue for where Mount Sinai is in the Sinai Peninsula. That's one argument that's going to be made.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking to Timothy Mahoney, who is a filmmaker and director. The name of the project, Timothy?
Patterns of Evidence, Journey to Mount Sinai. And it's going to be in 750 theaters on October 17th and 18th. We're going to be investigating the route of the Exodus with six different mountains over a two-film investigation. And if you go to patternsofevidence.com, you can learn more about it. I've got a scorecard. There's a trailer there. The scorecard, as we talked about, is a way for the audience to be interactive with the film. They can prepare for the investigation just as I do when I go out and search for something, and they can join me now. They can read the scriptures and the references, and then I've got this scorecard, as I said, that they can print out, and they can follow along in the movie, because I'm going to give them, I'm going to say, okay, now is the time. What do you think? Can you find evidence for campsites and wilderness, you know, at this mountain? Or can you find artifacts of altars and pillars? You know, what are they saying? What do you think? And so I think it's going to be a really great experience for people, I mean, even if they have like a small group Bible study or homeschool, to watch a film like this and to go there as a group and really engage in the Bible.
That kind of touches into what's going to be my last question here this morning as we start to wrap up. Why would you say it's important for people to see a movie like yours and to dig into this stuff a little bit?
Well, because there's a beginning. It's important for us to know where our origin is. And God is telling us that He created the earth, that He's created the universe, and that we are a part of it, and that He created us, and that He's giving us an opportunity to know who He is and to follow Him. But there's other messages out there that God didn't create anything, that this all happened through natural processes, and that there is no God, and there is no one to obey or to serve. But God is telling us that He's coming back in the future, and He's going to hold us all accountable. I've got another movie that I'm interested in producing called Laws of the Universe, and that whether we realize it or not, we're actually under God's, we are all going to be held accountable. And it says in the future that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether you accept Him now, eventually you're going to kneel to this creator of the universe. And I think it's important now, when there's so many areas of confusion, that we know that our faith is true and it's historical. And that's why these films have been so helpful for so many people, is because I'm helping show a pattern of evidence that God is acting in history. He acted in the history in the past, and He is acting in the history in the present. That's what we're talking about as well, and He's going to be acting in the history of the future. So there's a pattern and an arc that you can see, and that's why I think it's important for people to be aware, and that's why these films, I think, are so important.
Well, thank you so much, Tim. I can't agree more. We live in a culture where the Bible is becoming more and more, just to many people, a dusty book full of stories that were just made up. But with projects like what you're doing, is showing us, no, there is evidence strong evidence to suggest that these things did happen. They're not just stories, and they're stories that we can build our lives on.
That's absolutely correct. And also, the young people are going off to college now, or universities. They're going to be told a lot of stuff that's not true. And I have proven that it's not true. But they're still going to be told that because it's really about agendas. So if you can have young people watch our films, we've had this happen with college students. Once they see that where the pattern is, then they actually are, if we want to use the word, vaccinated from this unbelief. And so that's why I think it's important. We have this series of films that people can get and share with their families, share with their children, their college students, you know, whatever. Documentaries are pretty popular. And our first film was on Netflix worldwide. So it's a good thing for your family to know that there is an amazing pattern of evidence that supports the historical credibility of the Bible.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you're joining us now here on Yes FM, this is the Positive Chats podcast. We've been talking with Timothy Mahoney, who is a director of a film series, Patterns of Evidence. If you go to patternsofevidence.com, you can find out about his latest project, where they're investigating the location of Mount Sinai, which will be in over 700 theaters October 17th and 18th. And if you go to, once again, patternsofevidence.com, you can find out where the films will be showing. And get yourself a scorecard and keep track of the evidence yourself. Maybe come up with your own opinions on where you think Mount Sinai is. Thank you so much, Timothy, for being our guest. We look forward to hopefully touching base again as you have more projects come out. Is there anything we can pray for you about this morning?
You know, we are at the final, trying to put all the pieces together. Animations coming from different parts of the world and pulling this together. So we need to pull this film together. So I'd appreciate prayers for that as we send it off to the theater to get it ready to show.
Father God, thank you so much for Timothy and the work you've done in his life and the work he is doing in the world as a result of it. We just pray for your order. We know that you are the great creator, so help his team create the pieces that they need to put together so this film can hit the theaters on time and impact all of us and encourage us to chase after you, to build our lives on the stories of the Bible, because they're true and because you're faithful. We ask all this in your son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Once again, the website, if you're interested in the Patterns of Evidence films, it's patternsofevidence.com. October 17th and 18th, it will be in theaters.